Lord, that I may see, he suffered under Pontius Pilate. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What do you do when you hear a noise? You look up. But what if you can't see anything? What's going on, you'll ask. But say you were blind and had tickets to the Super Bowl this evening, condition of sale, some might say. When there you are, seated in the midst of the congregation, I mean the crowd, and you hear a roar. And so you ask, what's happening? Oh, somebody just got his head bashed in. Oh, that's great. And then you cheer along with the rest of the crowd. These aren't catechism questions, of course. You've figured that out. They're just sort of human nature, aren't they? But that's what's going on in today's gospel. This is what Bartimaeus did, our blind man of Jericho. He heard the noise of the crowd, and asked what was happening, and he was told, well, it was Jesus. And so he cries out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He's not going to miss his moment, this blind beggar. They shh him. But he cries out a second time, Son of David, have mercy on me. What wilt thou that I do to thee, Lord, that I may see? And immediately he saw and followed him, glorifying God. How odd it would have been for him, a beggar, a blind man, not to cry out for mercy. And yet we miss our moment, our miracle, our mercy, don't we? At Mass, I mean. Because the Mass is the gospel come alive. And sometimes we never ask what the noise is all about. Oh, not the beautiful music of the High Mass, not the babies, not the coughing, not the shuffling of feet, not even the crash of kneelers each Sunday, every Sunday, which tells us it's communion time. So somebody please crash the kneeler up into the pew in front. You really wouldn't need bells to know it's communion time at St. Gertrude. But I'm thinking of a different kind of noise, an organized, scheduled, purposeful noise, which our altar boys make on purpose. The holy crash of bells, a sounding brass, or a tinkling cymbal at Mass. We hear them each week, like those kneelers at communion. So we don't hear them, and we miss out. And the shame of it is that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He is lifted up on high. The bells tell what's going on. Well, it's the start of Mass, and we usually do look up then, who's the priest today? Then, after the Creed, the offertory, that gets a bell. It's the first of the three principal parts of the Mass. And then, towards the end of the preface, the angel's hymn is introduced, the Sanctus. Three bells, and here we kneel. Some don't anymore kneel at the Sanctus. And now they're eating meat on Fridays, too. Odd. They're still considered traditional Catholics. But here we kneel, or some of you may slump, with your rump on the poor pew. It puts the pew under a lot of pressure. Much better to sit and save your strength to kneel for the most sacred time if you can, but otherwise just sit up nice and straight, reverently. But if you can kneel, kneel, and in any case, avoid the slump. We want to give a good impression, a good example to our young people. Well, back to bells. At the canon, it's 3:1:3, the Sanctus, and then next comes the warning bell, and the celebrant stretches out his hands in the gesture of the high priest at the Day of Atonement. He did it over the goat, and our priest does it over the lamb, who assumes the role of the goat, who becomes the guilty creature, a substitutionary sacrifice, but not entirely. Not entirely. And then we'll say you're reading in your missal, which is an excellent thing to do, but you mustn't be glued to it. You'd miss the good parts. Or maybe you're looking around. There are many shrines in the church. That could be a good thing, too. Last Sunday, one girl was redoing the doily on her head. And in any case, don't traipse around. You know, some children have to make those frequent bathroom visits, but only during Mass. But you don't want to be going in and out now. Wait for it. After that one bell, you'll see the priest bend over, if you're watching, and the bells ring and Father genuflex, or as near as he is able to, and then you look. What's the noise about? You ask yourself. And you see the Lamb of God lifted between heaven and earth, lifted high on the cross, and you remember, I'm the beggar in this story, and you ask for mercy so as not to miss your moment. You cry out twice, some prayer of your own choosing, as you look up, my Lord and my God, that's 7 years indulgence. And if you add today's prayer, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, that's another year and a half, 8.5 years. Be careful, be conscious about gaining indulgences for yourself, but especially for the poor souls. They sit by the wayside at Mass and beg, and the angels scooch over to make room for them. Some may be doing their purgatory here in this church. There are other prayers you can say at the elevation as well. Some are indulgence. Saint Therese wrote a beautiful little rhyme in honor of the Holy Face in Mexico or in some parts of Argentina. They cry out 3 times aloud, Señor mío y Dios míos, my Lord and my God. I like to make the sign of the cross then. Some others may beat their breast. But look, stop what you're doing and look with love. Your salvation is at hand. Parents, grandparents, catch the children. Coach them quietly. There's Jesus. He's coming. Whisper some little prayer in their ear till they get it. Remind them if they forget. If we don't look, we may as well be blind. Our Lord told the last of the Holy Face nuns, the Italian Sor Maria Pierina, before World War II, to have medals struck of the Holy Face of the Shroud. She did, and they were distributed in their thousands. And he told her how pleasing this was, that we should look. He said, I firmly wish that my face, reflecting the intimate pains of my soul, the suffering, the love of my heart, be more honored. And then this, whoever gazes upon me already consoles me. Could anything be easier? Whoever gazes upon my face. And why shouldn't we? There was that miracle during the Masonic Revolution, middle of the 19th century in the Vatican. The Villa Veronica came alive one day, 3 hours, witnessed by so many. And then the modern miracle, a photographic negative of the Holy Shroud for modern times. Christmas is just over now. And we remember, as Easter draws near, the why of the incarnation. Our Lord was born and suffered and died to be a victim for our sins. Today's timely devotion, the Holy Face, is a kind of a nonverbal gospel. It's a picture you can and should. You know, people carry pictures around in their, well, it used to be in their wallet, but now, of course, it's on your cell phone, I suppose. But it's a picture you want to carry around here, and a picture you carry around here in your heart. It's a picture that captures and summarizes the words of the Savior in today's gospel, which should describe our Lent, the end of his life, the fulfillment as well of all the prophecies. Betrayal, you see that in his face, mocked and scourged and spit upon, chiefly that, put to death, but it's the face of a God. He shall rise again the third day. The holy face of our Lord sums up his life, the why, the purpose of the incarnation, to make up for sin, to expiate by his sufferings in the stable, in the carpenter's shop, on the dry, dusty roads of Galilee and on the cross. Our Lord could have done this all himself, as Protestants claim, but he saved a little for you. Our Lord could have called only chosen souls, nuns, say, or saints, for this work, but no. He comes on quinquagesima, our Lord does, to ask for us to look. 1 year at this hour, tierce, 9 o'clock, our Lord appeared to Saint Gertrude as he is depicted in that statue we have during Lent. It's out now in the side chapel. Our Lord scourged between two executioners. She saw him scourged with thorns on the one side and then with knotted whips or cords on the other side, and that the side of his face that had been struck with thorns was so torn that even the pupil of his eye was ripped. And the other side of his face was swollen and discolored. "Ah, Lord," St. Gertrude cried, "how are we able to relieve the pain of thy beautiful face?" And he said, "by contemplating in your own heart my passion with compassion, and in this charitable way, praying for sinners. A heart which is contrite this way puts ointment on my face and relieves all its pain." We do this at the consecration. Today, may our Lord repair our eyes, the Son of David, that we may see this work is for me. It is to be done in all charity. You know how they say, if you learn during the day at school, you don't have to worry so much about homework. You will have understood the lesson. The same thing. If you will pray so intently at your Sunday Mass, you'll get the essential in for the week. Because during the week, you may very well be distracted and forget the promises that you made. Every consecration, with its sounding brass and tinkling cymbal, calls. Look up. Your redemption is at hand. You share in the great work of reparation. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.